about to hear all slap on funnels is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the church, episode, genus, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and to pass no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Welcome and merry freaking ho-ho, seekers. Tonight, we are gonna take a little Christmas trip without even leaving the couch. Courtesy of that madman Jim Ratz. When he sent me Radioland, he also sent me something called Tommy's Christmas Surprise. So surprise, seekers! Enjoy!
Hi, guys and gals. Welcome to our annual Christmas Jubilee of Stars.
A Merry Christmas to a one and all!
Merry Christmas.
Before making a ruling, this court has consulted the highest authority available. The question of Santa Claus seems to be largely a matter of opinion. Many people firmly believe in him, others do not. American justice demands a broad and unprejudiced view of such a controversial matter. This court, therefore, he intends to keep an open mind. We shall hear evidence on either side.
If the court please, may my client take over for me?
Yes, of course.
Well, will Thomas Mara please take the stand?
Who, me?
No, Mr. Mara. Thomas Mara Jr.
Tommy, can you hear me?
Now, Tommy, now. You know the difference between telling the truth and telling a lie, don't you?
Gosh, everybody knows you shouldn't tell a lie, especially in court.
Tell me, do you believe in Santa Claus, Tommy?
Sure I do. He gave me a brand new sled last year, and this year I wrote him that I wanted a...
And what does he look like?
You.
I object.
Overruled.
Tell me, Tommy, why are you so sure there is a Santa Claus?
Because my daddy told me so. Didn't you, Dad?
Yes, and you believe your daddy, don't you, Tommy? Huh? He's a very honest man.
Of course he is. My daddy wouldn't tell me anything that wasn't so. Would you, Daddy?
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, that's all.
Your Honor, State of New York concedes the existence of Santa Claus.
Good morning, Mr. Scrooge.
That's me, I'm Scrooge, and I got all mileage, Bolly, and I'm the baddest cat in all this world. I've been studying all my life out of Scrooge people, and I guarantee you I've done some fine work in that direction. Cratchit.
Yes, sir.
You busy? I surely is, sir. See that you keep busy. Don't want no dangling wanging around here. Keep everybody tight, and tell them two cats come in here, want to get some money. I ain't giving no money away. They're messing with Scrooge. I'm taking it in. I ain't putting it out. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Well, keep it clear. People come around here wanting my gold. It's all trying to pry into my vault. Every time I turn around, somebody starts snapping. Tell my nephew I don't want to have no dinner with him. And if he never comes in here again, that'll be too soon.
I'll tell the cat.
See that you do. I don't understand these people who are after my gold. I close up this here place and what? Let me tell you something else. You think that you're going to get off Christmas Day?
Well, I was hoping, sir, that you'd let me knock off just a little while for Christmas Eve because I want to go home and cool the goose.
Well, if you're going to get off Christmas Eve, you're going to have to work all day Christmas. You hear me?
I hear you, sir. I'm with it.
Well, I guess they're going on home here.
So Scrooge takes off and he cuts on down the street and the snow is blowing and the wind is whooing. And Scrooge is going along in his loose soul and his loose clothes and his hard cash box and his big money mine going on in his wig. And he ding, ding, ding up the stairs and he opens his door and he gets inside and he puts a double lock on the door because he's a little bug tonight. He's been saying humbug so long and humbug this and humbug that. He done give himself a natural humbug.
Natural
he's
humbug.
Got the bug humming in it. So he double locked the door.
Do you believe in Santa Claus, Tommy?
No.
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer is...
Sure I do.
So that means the big question next week will be worth $3,000.
But for beating our other couples, Groucho, they each receive...
That's very lovely, and I haven't anything like it.
Was the night before Christmas animals through the house?
Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
What are you mice doing in here?
Mice?
This is our session. We came in here to make a Christmas boogie.
Who do you think you're talking to?
This is 1968, brother, not 1958. Now, you mice gotta get it together. Now, if you want to hang around here, you just gotta be quiet.
Mice? Who are you calling mice? We're chipmunks.
Walking down the street, we get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the chipmunks. We win.
All right, chipmunks. Cool it now, listen.
A little crisp boogie will chase away your blues.
Chase them away, brother! Hey, Alvin, where are you at?
They really turn me on, I believe is the expression.
Listen, Alvin, get with it. Try some of this.
Okay!
All right, you chipmunks. Ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are.
Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon?
Okay.
Okay, Theodore?
Okay.
Okay, Alvin? Alvin?
Okay!
Christmas time is near. Time for toys and time for cheer. I want a hula hoop. We can hardly stand the wait.
Please, Christmas, don't be late.
Okay, fellas, get ready. That was very good, Simon.
Naturally.
Very good, Theodore. Alvin, you were a little flat. Watch it, Alvin. Alvin.
Okay.
Let's sing it again.
What do you mean overdo it?
We want to sing it again.
Yes,
that's pretty. Why can't we sing it again?
And stop, Speedy. I want to sound natural on Christmas.
One Christmas was so much like the other in those years around the Seatown corner now, out of all sound except the distant speaking of the voices I sometimes hear a moment before sleep, that I can never remember whether it snowed for 6 days and six nights when I was 12, or whether it snowed for 12 days and 12 nights when I was 6. All the Christmases roll down towards the two-tongued sea like a cold and headlong moon bundling down the sky that was our street. And they stop at the rim of the ice-edged, fish-freezing waves, and I plunge my hands in the snow and bring out whatever I can find. In goes my hand into that wool-white, bell-tongued ball of holidays resting at the rim of the carol-singing sea. And out come Mrs. Prothero and the firemen. It was on the afternoon of the day of Christmas Eve, and I was in Mrs. Prothero's garden, waiting for cats with her son Jim. It was snowing. It was always snowing at Christmas. December, in my memory, as white as Lapland, although there were no reindeers. But there were cats. Patient, cold, and callous, our hands wrapped in socks, we waited to snowball the cats. Sleek and long as jaguars and horrible whiskered, spitting and snarling, they would slide and sidle over the white back garden walls, and the lynx-eyed hunters, Jim and I, fur-capped and moccasined trappers from Hudson Bay off Mumbles Road, would hurl our deadly snowballs at the green of their eyes. The wise cats never appeared. We were so still, Eskimo-footed Arctic marksmen in the muffling silence of the eternal snows, eternal ever since Wednesday, that we never heard Mrs. Prothero's first cry from her igloo at the bottom of the garden. Or if we heard it at all, it was to us like the far-off challenge of our enemy and prey, the neighbor's polar cat. But soon the voice grew louder. "Fire!" cried Mrs. Prothero, and she beat the dinner gong. And we ran down the garden with the snowballs in our arms towards the house, and smoke indeed was pouring out of the dining room, and the gong was bombolating, and Mrs. Prothero was announcing ruin like a town crier in Pompeii. This was better than all the cats in Wales standing on the wall in a row. We bounded into the house laden with snowballs and stopped at the open door of the smoke-filled room. Something was burning, all right. Perhaps it was Mr. Prothero, who always slept there after midday dinner with a newspaper over his face. But he was standing in the middle of the room saying, "A fine Christmas," and smacking at the smoke with a slipper. "Call the fire brigade," cried Mrs. Prothero as she beat the gong. "They won't be here," said Mr. Prothero. "It's Christmas." There was no fire to be seen, only clouds of smoke, and Mr. Prothero standing in the middle of them, waving his slipper as though he were conducting. "Do something," he said. And we threw all our snowballs into the smoke. I think we missed Mr. Prothero, and ran out of the house to the telephone box. "Let's call the police as well," Jim said, "and the ambulance. And Ernie Jenkins, he likes fires." But we only called the fire brigade. And soon the fire engine came, and three tall men in helmets brought a hose into the house, and Mr. Prothero got out just in time before they turned it on. Nobody could have had a noisier Christmas Eve. And when the fireman turned off the hose and was standing in the wet, smoky room, Jim's aunt, Miss Prothero, came downstairs and peered in at them. Jim and I waited very quietly to hear what she would say to them. She said the right thing, always. She looked at the three tall firemen in their shining helmets standing among the smoke and cinders and dissolving snowballs, and she said, "Would you like anything to read?"
"Dear Santa Claus, how have you been? Did you have a nice summer? How is your wife? I have been extra good this year, so I have a long list of presents that I want."
"Oh, brother.
Please note the size and color of each too complicated. Make it easy on yourself. Just send money. How about 10 and 20?
What would you like me to bring you?
I'm Santa Claus.
Right. And I'm the Tooth Fairy.
That's him, all right.
Dear Santa Claus, my mommy and daddy said that if I was very good, I could have whatever I wanted for Christmas. Well, I would like a dolly for Christmas. It is a very special dolly. I saw it advertised on television. In case you don't know which dolly I mean, I will try to describe it to you. The pretty little dolly can sit. Pretty little dolly can stand. She will even walk around the room if you take her hand. The pretty little dolly can turn. The pretty little dolly can dance. If you feed her water through a tube, she will wet her pants.
Okay, Good Day is our Christmas part of the album, and you can play this at your Christmas parties or to yourself on Christmas Eve if there's nothing else to do. Okay, so Good Day, this is the Christmas part, and we're going to tell you what to get your true love for Christmas.
On the first day of Christmas, my
true love gave to me
a partridge in a pear tree.
On the second day of Christmas, my true
hold it. Hold it.
Dave.
Hold it, singers.
To me.
All right. Who's got the partridge? You, Cecilia?
Well, there's something that looks like a partridge behind me. Of course, I'm not sure what a partridge looks like, but it is eating a pear.
Eating a pear?
In a tree.
There's a tree.
Yes, a little pear tree with a partridge in it, just like the song says.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five swans a-swimming, four golden rings, three turtle doves.
Special delivery for Cecilia Sonkel.
Lovebirds, how nice.
Looks like pigeons to me.
Turtle doves.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens.
The plot thickens with a package of chickens.
Four geese laying, seven swans swimming.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French toast,
two turtlenecks,
and a beer. Okay, that should be more there, right? Where?
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a pink satin pillow that says San Diego with fringe all around it.
Yeah, 12 pack of Bud, 11 wrestling tickets, 10 of Copenhagen, 9 years probation, 8 table dancers, 7 packs of Red Man, 6 cans of Spam, 4 Big Mud tires, 3 shotgun shells, 2 hunting dogs, and some parts to a Mustang GT.
On the 12th day of Christmas, although it may seem strange, on the 12th day of Christmas, I'm going to exchange
an automatic vegetable slicer that works when you see it on television, but not when you get it home.
Chromium combination manager, scissors, and cigarette lighter.
Pair of teakwood shower clogs.
Indoor plastic bird bath.
A pink satin pillow that says San Diego with fringe all around it.
Hammered aluminum nut cracker.
Statue of a lady with a clock where her stomach ought to be.
Simulated alligator wallet.
Calendar book with the name of my insurance man.
Reed polka dot pajamas.
And a
beer.
And a Japanese transistor.
Red.
Well, it's a kick anyway, isn't it? What a great thing it is to be alive. My lords, my ladies, beloveds, would it embarrass you very much if I were to tell you that I love you? It embarrasses you, doesn't it? How about you, Roger? Now look at all you cats and kitties out there whipping and wailing and jumping up and down and sucking up all that juice and patting each other on the back and hipping each other who the greatest cat in the world is. Mr. Malenkoff, Mr. Talenkoff, Mr. Eisenhower, Mr. Woozer, Weezer, Mr. Wiser, Woozer, Mr. Woodhill, Mr. Beechhill, and Mr. Churchill, and all them hills gonna get you straight. If they can't get you straight, then no cat that knows a cat will straighten you. But I'm gonna put a cat on you was the coolest, grooviest, sweetest, wailingest, strongest, swingingest cat that ever stomped on this jumping green sphere, and I call this your cat, Dinesh.
Three wise men are not the most central characters in the Christmas story. They appear only in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. But they are the only characters who came from a great distance. And so they are the only characters in the Christmas story whom we may think, perhaps, probably, were Gentiles. And therefore, conceivably, the only ones who might have been Lutheran. Some Bible scholars believe that they were. At least one of them was Lutheran, because the three of them came bearing gifts. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And myrrh, in case you weren't aware of this, is a casserole. It's a hot dish. It's made from macaroni and hamburger. Some tomatoes in it. And it comes from the pronunciation in the Middle East and also in the Midwest of hamburger as hammer. Thus its name. So we think that one of the wise men probably was Lutheran and may have intended to stop at a department store and pick up something expensive like gold or frankincense. But his wife, who was a wise woman, said, "No, take this. They'll probably be hungry. Take some myrrh. Just bring back the dish." So they might have been our guys, at least one of them. They came from a great distance away, following a star, which for wise men was not really very smart, when you think of it, because a star is up in the sky. And so the sense of direction that you get from a star is going to be a little bit general. And which stable the star is right over kind of depends on where you're standing at the time. So these guys were navigating on faith. They took a long trip based on less hard information than a person might like to have. But they came through and they found Christmas on faith. They actually found it. And so may we, even though it may be even more of an adventure for us today than it was for them back then. Because there's so much artificial light from Christmas and so much reflected light that there's kind of a general glow, and it may be hard to pick out stars in the sky, just as it is in the city, even a very bright one. But it can be found, and it can be followed, and we can find it. There is hope for us.
So now everybody's talking about the Naz. Oh, this beautiful swinging man. How he's setting the country on fire with big sparks of great love. Like a swinging non-stop satellites going through all the lanes and valleys and alleys and putting down the scene with such beauty and such power and such charm that they now sparks 75 feet long shooting out of the grapevine, and they now got 5,000 of these little cats and kitties in the Naz's hometown where the cat live looking to get straight. Well, he knows he can't straighten them there. It's too small a place to want to hang everybody up. So the Naz backed away a little bit, and he look at these cats and kitties and he say, "Come on, babies. Let's cut on out down the bike." And there went the Naz with these 5,000 cats and kitties a stomping up a storm. Behind him there's a great love river joy. It's going like a great chain through these gorgeous cats and kitties as they're swanging along in the beat of the Naz, and the birds that fly along one side and singing love songs to these cats and kitties. And it's a great jubilee of love, and the Naz talking about hopping to the hour, hopping to the flower, hopping to you, hopping to me, hopping to the tree. Naz had them pretty eyes. He wanted everybody to see with the eyes and see how pretty it was. And they have such a glorious swinging time that before you know it, they were 42 miles out of town. Ain't nobody got the first biscuit. So the Naz look at them cats and kitties and they say, "You hungry, ain't you, babies?" And the cats say, "Yeah, Naz say we's digging so hard what you're putting down." "We didn't prepare," say, "we goofed." So the Naz say, "Well, we got to take it easy here. We wouldn't want to go ahead and order up something you might not like, would we?" And they said, "Sweet double hippies, you put it down, and we'll pick it up." And the Naz step away a little bit, and he put a glorious sound of love on. He said, "Oh, sweet swinging flowers of the field." And they said, "Oh, great non-stop singular sound of beauty." And he said, "Stomp upon the terror." They did. He said, "Lift your miracle, the body." The body went up. He said, "Lift your arm." The arms went up. He said, "Higher." They went higher. And the Naz said, "Dig in." And they dug it. And when he did, whap, there's a flash of thunder. Look at my hands, a great big stuff, sweet. Swinging, smoked, fish, And in the other, a long-gone crazy loaf of that southern homemade honey-tasting sweet bread. Why, these pole cats flipped. Naz never did nothing simple. When he laid it, he laid it.
Bring out the tall tales now that we told by the fire as the gaslight bubbled like a diver. Ghosts wooed like owls in the long nights when I dared not look over my shoulder. Animals lurked in the cubbyhole under the stairs where the gas meter ticked. And I remember that we went singing carols once when there wasn't a shaving of a moon to light the flying streets. The silent, one-clouded heavens drifted onto the sea. Now we were snowblind travelers lost on the North Hills, and vast dewlapped dogs with flasks round their necks ambled and shambled up to us, baying excelsior. At the end of a long road was a drive that led to a large house, and we stumbled up the darkness of the drive that night, each one of us afraid, each one holding a stone in his hand, in case, and all of us too brave to say a word. The wind through the trees made noises as of old and unpleasant and maybe web-footed men wheezing in caves. We reached the black bulk of the house. What shall we give them? Hark the herald? No, Jack said. Good King Wenceslas. I'll count three. One, two, three.
Good King Wenceslas, last look.
And we began to sing, our voices high and seemingly distant in the snow-felted darkness round the house that was occupied by nobody we knew. We stood close together near the dark door. And then a small, dry voice, like the voice of someone who has not spoken for a long time, joined our singing. A small, dry eggshell voice from the other side of the door. A small, dry voice through the keyhole.
Who's there? Oh, it's Santa Claus.
Welcome. Welcome to my strange backyard.
I'm George Harrison.
All the best in Happy New Year and a Happy Christmas on Here's Ringo.
On behalf of John and I, George speaking, I'd like to thank you for all the Christmas cards and presents and birthday cards and presents and everything, too.
And if you haven't got yours, send fourpence in and get a free one.
And seeing as we gather around the Christmas microphone here in the studio, we might as well get together with a little Christmas message for you.
Yesterday you are,
all my troubles seem so far away. Now as all the hit is day.
Oh, bless you all on Christmas Day.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much fun to celebrate. Feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree. Here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee
the menorah. So do James Conkirk Douglas and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't need Deck the Halls or Jingle Bell Rock, 'cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrates Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew. But guess who is? Hall of Famer Rod Carew. He converted. We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby. Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish, not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is. Well, he's not, but guess who is? All Three Stooges. So many Jews are in showbiz. Tom Cruise isn't, but I heard his agent is. Tell your friend Veronica, it's time to celebrate Hanukkah. On this lovely, lovely Hanukkah. So drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana. Happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.
Merry Christmas, 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 Merry. It's just a plug for the film, Ken. Try and keep it on.
Happy New Year, Happy Christmas, Happy Easter, Happy Autumn, Happy Michaelmas, everybody. Happy Christmas, everybody, to you.
4:35 p.m. I was working the holiday watch at a homicide with Frank.
Hang up your stocking yet, Joe?
Yeah, just before I come down. You too, Frank?
Always do. Hung it up early just in case I have to work late tonight. Wouldn't want to miss out when Santa Claus comes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure wouldn't. Be a shame.
What you gonna do tomorrow, Joe? What you gonna do on Christmas? You got any plans?
Nothing much.
Why don't you come by the house, Joe? We're gonna have Christmas dinner. You know, all the trimmings.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey, celery stuffing, oysters maybe, chestnuts.
Mm-hmm.
All the trimmings. Cranberry sauce. Love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions. Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions. Did you ever notice that, Joe?
Ever notice what, Frank?
How most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Mm-hmm. Scallions.
Anytime after two, Joe. Love to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see.
The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them carrot sticks. You know them little carrot sticks?
Mm-hmm.
Olives, pickles, scallions.
Mm-hmm. Let's not go through that again.
Love to have you. Go through what again, Joe?
How most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Oh. You noticed that too, huh, Joe?
Well, here's a song especially for all of you kids.
I've got some presents for Santa, and he's got a big one for me. Well, outside it snows, I take off all my clothes, wait for Santa underneath my tree.
Let's not play games, shall we?
It'll be decorations of red on a green Christmas tree. It won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with
Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap.
Well, I suggest we get the remains of a good night's sleep.
Is there anything you would like, Mr. Holmes?
I like you, Mrs. Hudson. Go to bed now.
You give me an awful fright dressed up like that.
Keep alert, Watson.
Yes, of course.
Good night.
Lights out, everybody. It is later than you think.
And Scrooge is going along in his loose soul, in his loose clothes, in his hard cash box, and his big money mind going on in his wig, and he puts a double lock on the door, cause he's a little bugged tonight. And he sits there, and all of a sudden there's an old bell laying over there in the corner, and the bell goes ding, 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 ding. Scrooge said, "What's that?" "Dang, dong." He said, "What's that?" Bells started ring. Ding, dong, boom, boom. Pretty soon all the bells all over the house started ring. Ding, ding, bang, bang, dong. Dang, dong, boom, boom, dang, dong, boom, boom. And he hears somebody like some chain cats are pulling all the chains from the chains of time up the hill of strife, ringing and dang. They said, "What is all that ringing and dang with them chains?" And all of a sudden, bloop. In come a cat, the wildest looking cat you ever seen in his life. Real gone cat, and Scrooge does a real wild take. He said, "I know who that stud is. That's Marley." He said, "I know that's Marley. What's he doing here?" He said, "Marley." I said, "Yes, that's me." He said, "Man, you sure chained up there, man. You got chains built all over you there." I said, "Well, I put them on myself. That's the way I lived it. I chained myself. I hung myself up with all these chains, you know, being parsimonious, understand me. I can't get them off now. I've been lugging these chains all over the country for the past 7 years. That's a long time. What you want with me there, Molly, Molly? Cause I got your barley. That's why I don't mess with no barley no more. I wish I'd given it all away when I had it. And I'm gonna tell you something else too. I'm a spook, you know that? You telling me? I know you a spook, Molly. And I'm gonna get straight with you. I'm gonna tell you something else too, Mr. Scroogey, Scroogey. They gonna be 3 more gaslighting spooks coming to see you." He said, "3 more gaslighting spooks, man?" I said, "1 spook's enough." I said, "Can't I have them all at one time?" I said, "No, they coming one at a time. First one'll be 11, next one'll be 12, next one'll be 1. I said, "Man, it's hard on diggers." "It ain't what you dig, Scrooge. It's what you putting down. You've been a very solid cat all this time. You're gonna be gaslighted by these spooks." "Well," they say, "if it got to be gas, it ain't gonna cost me no money, is it?" "Cost you more than that, Scrooge." He said, "It ain't no more than money." He said, "You find out." Molly split. And old Scrooge is sitting there sweating and ding-ding-ding. And all of a sudden, man, he hears some crazy, wild kind of a thing going on. He don't know just what it is. And all of a sudden, boom, here comes a great, big, fat spook, look like take 170 wings and lift him off over the housetop. And he's got a gold beat-up cat and strangly legs and strangly arms and pedicured eyes and all out of his skull, spooking up a storm. And he looks at old Scrooge and he says, "Scrooge is standing in the corner and feel like a disrupted, small, disregarded and unclaimed white mice midget style." He said, "No, that." And old spook say, "Come with me, cause I is the ghost of the Christmas past." And Scrooge said, "Do I have to?" "Say, you certainly do." And he got on the ghost's wing. They took off. And he's flying old Scrooge over the top of the mountain. The wind is blowing and the wind is potting his wake. And he's looking down and seeing all these crazy scenes going on. Zoom, he goes for a few more miles and takes him down to a sunlit pasture. And the sunlit pasture is full of children. And they're singing and dancing and loving and going and swinging. And Scrooge said, "Hey, Scrooge said, look, that's me down there." "Yeah, that's you. That's you." He said, "I look pretty good now." "Yeah, but you don't look good now." He said, "I'm going to hit you. You got to get yourself straight. Something terrible gonna happen." Zoom, he takes him over to another place and he shows him a pretty little chick. Got dimples, 3 dimples on each chin, and she got 3 little dimpled children, and the next little dimple on the way, and there's a real swinging cat around there, and it's a happy time place. Looks like 17 carnivals taking off. And Scrooge, look at this chick. Say, "I remember that chick. I could have married her one time." Spook say, "Yeah, you could if you wasn't so tight in your purse. You're thinking about yourself, that's what happened." He said, "Let me hip you further, Mr. Scrooge. Let me tell you one thing, you could have got everything straight if you wanted, and you better straighten up." Scrooge said, "Take me home." The ghost said, "I will." Boom, and he's home again. He said, "Oh man, that was a shaker." He said, "I don't know what's jumping off here," but he said, this whole thing is shaking me up pretty bad. He said, "I'm gonna tell you right now." I said, "I don't know." Wham! Here comes another big spook. Ooh, he's a wild looking spook. He's a crazy looking spook. He's a far out spook. He's a gaslight spook. He's got a gaslight right on the top of his wig. Going around like one of them automatic pilot lights in a lighthouse. And he's gassing up the whole scene. He said, "Come with me. I'm the ghost of Christmas present." And Scrooge look around and see the joint is loaded with apples and bananas and oranges and cradleys and aquavits and ripper lips and all kinds of crazy wild grapes and crazy Christmas scenes and nuts and candy. And he say, "Come with me." He done took off again. He said, "I'm the ghost of the Christmas present." He said, "I'm going to show you what's going on in this world and how the people dig Christmas and how to all enjoy." And he took home to a little old outcast island, and they're sitting on a small beat up rock with 2 studs chomping up on a can of beans, singing, "Merry Christmas with you, Merry Christmas with you, Merry Christmas to the whole world," and so on and so forth. And they show them the people jumping for joy here, and they show the cats it ain't got nothing, got something anyway, and they all jump for joy singing Merry Christmas, and the bells is ringing. He said, "Now you get yourself straight and see how things is jumping. Come with me." So they fly over to Cratchit's place, and there's little old Tiny Tim. He's singing over the quarter crochet and a little crazy scene on his crutch, fiddling around, you know.
what I mean? And carrying on, see, and they're all talking about, look at this here goose, and they look down at the little goose about the size of the beat-up, retarded sparrow, and everybody's oohing and aahing all over this goose, and they're saying, when we going to spread it, and so on, and Tiny Tim say, God bless everyone, even up and including old Scroogey Scrooge. God bless everyone. That's what Tiny Tim say. And old Scrooge got wet eyes, took him back again. Wow! Whole side of the building up, boom, and come a long angular spook, looked like 17 gas lighter stove pipes hung together with jingle jangle bells all over. Spook takes a look at this cat and says, do I have to go with you? He say, you certainly do, because I'm the ghost of Christmas future. He say, come with me. He say, where are we going? He say, none of your business. And he takes old Scrooge and they cut off all the flying, and they're flying around the moonlight is shining down on boom, they're in a graveyard. Ooh, a wild, ooh, crazy spook. Graveyard, and old Scrooge is walking around, and finally something steps out at him like he was stuck in the force of his eyes with some sort of an electronic pitchfork, and he reads on one of them billboards in that graveyard and say, this is Scrooge, the baddest cat that ever lived. He ain't had nothing, he won't have nothing, and he ain't got nothing now. Period. So zoom, he swings on back again, and the ghost puts him down, and old Scrooge is shaking and shivering, and he finally falls into a real wild, crazy Myers' coma, and he falls out for how long, he don't know. When he wakes up in the morning, the sun was shining on the glorious snow, and old Scrooge is feeling so groovy and so wild, and he tick, 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 tiptoes over the window. He up with the window, see a little cat, I say, hey, boy, I said, yes, sir. He said, you know that great, big, giant, king-sized bird down in Doodley's window? He said, you mean the prize bird? No, I say, I mean that big, great, big, king-sized bird. He said, go get that bird. Here's a 20. He knocks a 20 on him. He said, go get that bird, and here's 10 more for a cat, and here's $5 for your sister, and here's $22.50 for your uncle's new bicycle. And he say, tell anybody wants anything, see Scrooge. He said, I'm flying this here Christmas. He said, I want to see Cratchit swing out with a great big swing and a happy dinner. He said, I'm with it all the way. And old Scrooge gets dressed and he's walking down the street, and ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. The bells is ringing. Scrooge got a big smile on his face, and people that he's seen for 20 years never said hello. Say, good morning, Mr. Scrooge. He said, what you say, baby? And he can on, and can on, he's happy as the day is long, and he finally fell into old Bob Cratchit's place, and he's got Christmas toys and Christmas jars and Christmas presents for everybody, and they just open the goose, and little Tiny Tim see him coming and say, God bless Mr. Scrooge. God bless everyone. That's what Tiny Tim said.
Daddy, why is there Christmas?
Well, honey, that's what this record is all about. What did you ask me, sweetheart?
About Christmas. What am I getting, Daddy?
What am I getting, Daddy? You know, honey, we're all guilty of saying that. But I didn't hear you asking what you were giving. And getting without giving, honey, is like eating without swallowing. It's disgusting.
I don't understand.
Yes, you do, sweetheart. Remember what I told you once about Santa?
Anita?
No, pumpkin. Santa Claus, sweetheart.
You said he knows when you're sleeping and he knows when you're not sleeping. So for goodness sake.
Well, darling, your paraphrasing makes me chuckle. Sometimes I wonder if through sheer stupidity children aren't just as smart as any grown-up. Anyway, lovey, Santa knows who's asleep and who's not. But he also knows something else. He knows the meaning of Christmas. And do you know what that is?
It's all about love and sharing love and giving.
That's beautiful, Dumpling.
How'd you make love, Daddy?
Well, it's a complicated process, sugar, and it really has nothing to do with Christmas.
Does it have anything to do when you cover Mommy with?
No, honey.
Raisins?
Honey, you want that bicycle, don't you?
Yes.
All right, then let me ask you a question. What are you getting Daddy for Christmas?
Nothing. You hate presents.
Sweetie, have you taken leave of your little senses? Daddy loves presents.
Gave you a present last year. You didn't like it.
Well, honey, I didn't go crazy over it. It was a drawing of a zebra.
But I made it.
Well, you make noise too, sugar. So what? Look, I'm glad you brought this up now. Now listen, kitten. Would you like me to draw you a bike or give you a bike?
Give you. Give you. Give.
Give, all right?
Give.
Exactly, cupcake.
Want a real zebra?
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
All I want for Christmas is
a Hopalong Cassidy hat, a Hopalong Cassidy shirt,
hop along Cassidy spurs, hop along Cassidy belt, hop along Cassidy gun, hop along Cassidy boots, and a hop along Cassidy
lime green leisure suit with lapel shaped like a hang glider. Okay. Yeah, throw in that brocade dickie too.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Multicultural, gender neutral, non-sectarian, unambiguous, ovo-lacto, vegetarian, nature-loving, sweet agrarian, non-polluting, mass-appealing, anti-looting, non-fur-wearing, all-inclusive celebration!
Unless, of course, you don't want to, because we don't want this to be a high-pressure situation. This is your holiday.
You know, Christmas is a time of caring and loving, but they say if you can't love yourself, well, then you really can't love anybody else. And the best way to show that you really care about you is to spend most of your Christmas dollars on yourself. So here's a few ways to cut corners during this magic season. First of all, change the tradition from Christmas stockings to Christmas pantyhose. Next, glue jujubes on old bricks and send them out as fruitcakes. No one ever eats them, so no one really know. For a lawn decoration, dress your dog as a reindeer and say, "Stay."
Everywhere it's Christmas, everywhere it's fun. London,
hey, oh, and New York,
and Tokyo, Hong Kong. Oh, everywhere it's Christmas,
and I'm off to join the charm.
Everywhere is Christmas,
at the end of every year.
Oh, everywhere is Christmas, at the end of every year.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Tommy.
Any questions? Hey, Tommy, tell me one thing. What do you want to do?
I don't remember.
Oh, this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over. And you won't just be gone.
Homicide Wednesday. What's the matter, Joe? Bringing a guy in on a 409-6325-096704.
You mean?
Yeah. Guy don't believe in scallions. I mean, Santa Claus.
This thing here.
Oh, that's the usual clause. That's in every contract.
Well, I don't know. It's all right. That's in every contract. That's what they call a sanity clause.
You can't fool me. There ain't no sanity clause.
Then it happened.
It was the night before Christmas. When all through the house...
It was the night before Christmas and all through the house.
And the littlest Christmas tree said,
everybody say cheese.
Albert! Okay!
That came out my baby, and her name is G L O
Dr. Demento!
Doctor is in!
Oh, woo! Wind
up your radio. I'm Dr. Demento with this year's program, number 3 of the wildest and weirdest Christmas and Hanukkah songs of all time, from out of the vaults and off the wall, rare records and outrageous tapes from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's a merry, demented Christmas on the Dr. Demento Show. Here now, something new and quite special. It's a new version of The Night Before Christmas, featuring a lot of familiar voices put together by Jim Brass.
Is the night before Christmas and all through the town.
Twas like the night before Christmas and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, except
all me. Right, all right, all right, baby. Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house. When, out on the lawn, there rose such a clatter I sprung from my bed to see what's going on anyway.
Aren't you ever
going to
straighten out that closet?
Away to the window I flew like a flash. Tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When, what to my wondering eyes should appear?
What is it, Holmes?
Christmas boxes. Watson? I'm beginning to see the plan.
He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf. And I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings with ashes and soot. Then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose.
There's something stuck up in the chimney and I don't know what it is.
There's another Santa Claus, there's another Santa Claus there.
He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle,
and with that, leaping on his sled and laying his fingers side of his nose, he pulled back on the reins, cracked the whip and took off like the first stage of a Cape Canaveral rocket.
And away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight,
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is Michael Jackson of the Jackson 5 wishing a
Happy Christmas to all.
Hello, this is Phil Spector. May we wish you the very merriest of Christmases and the happiest of New Years. And thank you so very much for letting us spend this Christmas with you.
Now it's time to say goodnight.
And to all, a good night.
Night, everybody. Everybody.
And Tiny Tim said, Merry Christmas to you all, and a Happy New Year.
God bless Mr. Scrooge. He done did the turnabout. He's the Lord's boy today. And that's the story of Scrooge. You can get with it if you want to. There's only one way, straight to the road of love.
Oh, and there you go, Seekers. That was Tommy's Christmas Surprise by Jim Ratz. The audio maniac whose work has really refreshed the Funhouse this season. If you'd like to know more about Jim Ratz and all of his projects, he's as close as runawayexpress.com. And as always, if you're looking for the man with the pipe clenched in his teeth, and you know the one I mean, he's as close as a stamped self-addressed envelope to Bob at P.O. Box 181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118, or as as always, Bob's right there at subgenius.com. And next week, Seekers, we're going to have part two of Tommy's Christmas surprise, because Jim Ratz never does anything in a small way. See you in seven, Seekers. Good night.